Like a story in some old book, where you bewitched me with that look. And the geese flew south, the kid of hearts in their mouths. Yeah, one glance was all it took. And this shirt, and this dirt, and everything that's been hurt. Well, I know what it's like. An old deck of cards, I see your face on all the hearts as 52 men drag me away. There's a place beyond the stars, a song is played in all the bars, each and every day. And your eyes, and those sighs, those nights of long goodbyes. Well, I know what it's like. Dancing some fireside romance on a cold December night, with blue eyes and green dresses. There's beauty in those messes. In the darkness they find the light. So I walk into the sun. Our past and future become one, and we can forget everything that's been done. 'Cause I know what it's like. There's a place for us somewhere beyond the bluffs, and a gentle breeze never blows cold. Well, I know what it's like.
That's Mark Martire with I Know What It's Like from his album Red Letters. Came out in 2014. We're at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. It's now Saturday, which I think makes it the third day for some of us. Although I gather Mark is in the studio with us today, and he's just arrived, so he's still bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. The rest of us are trying to pull it together after a couple of fabulous days of live music and wonderful, wonderful community and conversation. Great to have you join us today, Mark.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I've been actually wanting an interview with you for quite a while because I received my copy of Red Letters last year. Absolutely loved it as an album and really thought I needed to learn more about you as a musician. So here's your opportunity. Tell us a little bit about you.
That's a big question. It's a broad question. A little bit about me. I don't know. I guess that was my third record, third studio album, and yeah, so I was doing the singer-songwriter thing. I live in Toronto predominantly, but I've been moving around the country, and that one was partly written in Halifax when I lived on the East Coast, and moved around to the West Coast. So
where did you actually grow up, on the East Coast?
No, I grew up in Toronto.
Okay.
And then I've moved around to different cities of Ontario and toured the province, and then spent a few months on the East Coast. I spent a few months on the West Coast, and just that's my life.
Have you always been a singer-songwriter?
Yes and no. There were times where I played in a band for a year or two and tried other outfits, but it was always, I always felt like a singer-songwriter sort of trapped, if that sounds a bit negative, but I don't mean it in a negative way, but just sort of like you're kind of confined when you're sometimes in a band because everybody has to sort of be a part of the process. And if you have a bassist, a drummer, a guitarist, and keyboardist, everyone wants to feel, okay, well, what's the guitarist role? What's the keyboardist role? Whereas when I have the singer-songwriter genre and I'm just doing my own thing, I can be a dictator and I can just say, yeah, well, this song is going to have just strings and that's it. And so it is a bit more freeing to not be boxed into with a band or a certain genre.
So Red Letters, that was your third?
Third album, yeah.
Yeah.
As I guess a solo singer-songwriter. Yeah, so when I was in a band, we did a couple couple albums and some live stuff. But so this is... I start at the first solo album and then kind of go forward from there.
Did you always feel that music would be your life? I was fascinated about when people make the decision that, I think I'd like to do this as a career.
Yeah, I don't know if it wasn't something I decided to do. It just sort of, you're compelled to do it. I'm sure that's a sentiment that a lot of people echo in that if given the choice, they probably would choose to do something different. You know, it's not exactly the most glamorous life. It's not exactly the most lucrative enterprise to get into. So I wouldn't say I chose it, or I wouldn't say, I decided this is what I want to do. It's more just, I would love to do something else, but I can't. And, but no, I've always been compelled towards art. And if I wasn't doing music, I always enjoyed writing. If I wasn't writing, I enjoyed doing other creative aspects and creative projects. So yeah, it's always been something I've been drawn to.
So you produced this album yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you produce all of your own work?
Yeah, the first one I did, I kind of co-produced it. And then since then, I've kind of put it together myself. And I have people I know who have like home studios and who are good audio engineers. And so it's a collaborative in that regard. But in terms of the musical direction and the way the songs are sculpted, I take on that role.
So tell us about the first song we played. That's I Know What It's Like. Talk about that song.
What do you want to know?
Whatever you want to tell us.
I don't know. I think I remember writing it on some cold day, I think, because in my apartment. But I don't know what else to say about it. I hope people like it.
I sense that you prefer a stripped-down feel because it's just you and Mike Butsai.
I think for these songs, it just suits the songs better to just... have a minimalist sort of approach and I want the lyrics to sort of stand out and I hope that resonates with people but it's not necessarily the direction I always want to be in. Maybe down the road I'd like to try other things, but I try to get the records to sound as similar to what you would hear if you saw me live. So now that I perform mostly solo, because I perform with one or two accompanists, Mike Matze being one of them, I want people to hear the record and be like, oh yeah, that's what he sounded like when I saw him live. I don't want people to buy the record and you hear this wall of sound and this crazy instrumentation. It's sort of it's a misrepresentation of what they heard.
I'm definitely with you on that. Yeah, because you get excited by hearing somebody live and it's stripped down, and then the studio versions are so completely different.
Or like he plays with a blues band, but his records are all like this country thing. It's like it's sort of, you don't want to have that sort of disconnect.
Was this album intended to be I was going to use the word sweet, but is there a certain feel for the songs on this album?
I guess when I put any album together, I'm always trying to find the ones that all fit together musically, lyrically. There's sort of a flow to them. So when I go into the studio, usually I have maybe twice as many songs written that I'm going to pare down and sort of decide which ones fit best. So it's not necessarily this is the best song, it has to be in the record. Sometimes it's like, well, this may not have been the best song, but it fits well with this song and it all sort of goes together. So there isn't necessarily a theme saying like this is all gonna be love songs or these are all gonna be traveling songs, but I do want them to sort of fit together as a cohesive body of work that you can listen to from start to finish and feel like you were taken on a narrative that fit.
Does songwriting come easy to you? Do you find like it's a natural thing for you to be doing?
there are kind of like two schools of songwriting or writing in general. It seems that there's the one where you sort of, you write something, you edit it, you look at it, you're, you know, I heard a story once that Leonard Cohen took a year to write Hallelujah because he wrote however many stanzas and he wanted to make this line better. And, you know, and again, you're sculpting it until it's this perfect, you know, statue. And then there's the other approach. I think Bob Dylan is this approach where it's, you know, his best songs were written in 5 minutes. It's just whatever signal comes into you, transcribe it. And if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. So I've been always more towards the latter. So there have been periods of time where I just don't write anything for a couple, you know, weeks, months. And then all of a sudden, on any given day, I'll write 8 songs because it just, you know, you're just getting that inspiration. So that's always been my approach. I've never been able to sort of massage a song into a, you know, labor over it and kind of scribble out lines and what's a better line. And this is, you know, it's either I write it, if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. And
because I think you've been pretty productive in the last 3 years. I mean, if we just focus on the right. solo albums, it's one a year, basically.
Yeah. And I'm working on another one right now, so hopefully that'll be out in the next few months or probably beginning of 2016.
Well, you brought the guitar. Why don't we play something? What are you going to play for us?
Sure. I'll do a new one, actually, and this will probably be on the next record. So this is Long Goodbye.
Another day, another night, while another bird flies out of sight. They say nothing comes from nothing, but I've begun to wonder if they were right. In another city I sit, and I watch the sun drop from the sky. Oh, the road is just one long goodbye. One long goodbye. Oh, how I wish that I could get there. But time keeps slipping through my hands. And life passes through my fingers like tiny grains of sand. I see mountains in the distance, and what's on the other side? Yes, the road is just one long goodbye. One long goodbye. We take pictures that we can greet again. Like a book on a shelf, full of old friends. So here we are in the cool breeze, forgetting the muck and mire of it all. Yeah, here we are under the sleepy trees, where we can let time stall. But did the yellow moon always know that our plans would go awry? Oh, the road is just one long goodbye. One and a long goodbye. Yes, the road is just one long goodbye. One long goodbye.
That's Mark Martire with a new song entitled Long Goodbye, live on Frogwurz Radio today. I love that voice. I knew it from the first time I heard the Red Letters album. I got to ask you who your influences are. Who are the people that really inspire you as a singer-songwriter?
It's a common question. I'm sure a lot of people get asked. It's also, I find it the most difficult question to answer. Because there's a lot, for sure. And who's to say what's filtered in over the last 20 years, you know? But I love the great singer-songwriters, I guess. I love the ones whose careers I just look up to, like what they've done in their career and how they've kind of kept changing genres and reinventing themselves. And, you know, the Neil Youngs and the Tom Waits and the Bob Dylans and the Bruce Springsteens and those artists who have been prolific and have just a great body of work to look up to.
Because, I mean, that voice obviously has a lot of Tom Waits in it.
Of course, yeah, I get that.
You know, and you can get that feel, you know. I mean, it's not as, I was going to use the word exaggerated, but that's not really true, but because he really has a persona
when
he sings, you know, and he really sort of, you know, brings it out, that very lived-in feel.
Yeah.
When you perform, do you, are you very much in the moment when you're doing that?
I would say so, yeah. You know, I've been taking voice lessons or guitar lessons or any sort of lessons, and I don't know what I'm doing half the time when it comes to performing. It's just sort of like, this is how it comes out.
Well, it's always funny because it's like when people, how people choose to sing, you know, and it's like, and you obviously have this real, husky, it sounded like it's like, okay, that's like, you know, when I listen to the album, it sounds like, well, that's like a real gin-soaked delivery there, you know?
Sure, yeah. It wasn't, and it sort of has evolved, I guess. Maybe I think if you listen to like my first solo album and then London, that when it came up for that, and Red Letter. So maybe it's sort of transitioning and it's always kind of changing. I don't think it sounds the same. And because I don't have that sort of polished command of my instrument, quote unquote instrument of my voice. And tomorrow I could start singing it. Oh, now it sounds this way. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. I just sort of open my mouth and push out air and it sort of comes out this way, and it is very much in the moment. And when I'm performing live, you know, if sort of you're feeling a bit angry about a certain song, or you're, you know, in a whatever kind of a mood, and it just comes out differently. I could never sing the same song the same way twice. It's just all depends on how you're feeling, I guess.
And as far as subject matter is concerned, I mean, are they slices of life typically?
I'd say so. There's certain autobiographical elements, I think, to all the songs. You know. Yeah. It's easier to write that way.
Yeah. You mentioned that you like to write as well. I mean, is that another aspect of your life that you still focus on?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd write poems and some short stories. And I think in the future, I'd like to, you know, see those in book form in one way or another. And yeah, so I'm always writing. And so when I sit down to, you know, write something, or like I was mentioning earlier, that sort of signal kind of comes in, you transcribe, it's not always a song. Sometimes it's a poem, sometimes it's something else. So I'm always writing. I don't necessarily separate the two, saying I'm now just doing songwriting, or now I'm just going to sit down and do this kind of writing. It's just whatever form it takes once you're inspired.
Yeah. How about we play another live song? What are you going to play for us?
Sure. Maybe I'll do one from the first record I did. An old song. That was a new song. Here's an older one, and it's called The Devil on Your Back.
Well, I walked out into that sweet spring air after sleeping against your skin. Oh, but sometimes it just isn't fair to feel this sick with frustration. And I think I need to see you tonight. And I hold you with the tips of my hands. Cause people have shown me the worst insight, and I wanna drift to foreign lands. But sin alone, I feel time start to slack. My heart is heavy and it starts to crack. My eyes are closed. I'm seeing black, but I don't want to be the devil on your back. I'm still walking through a world of muddy plains. This dark valley has swallowed me again. And I'm still walking through the freezing rain. I'll try to ignore that, my friends. And I see you lending a helping hand. You're squeezing lemons to dust. Promises of soft summer sand, honesty, truth and trust. But here at night the shadows attack. And my stomach turns, it pokes like a tack. And I know what I have, and I know what I lack. But I don't want to be the devil on your back. I never expected anyone to be on the other end of the line. Stretching out an overhanging branch of flowers wrapped up in vine. And the night is wild and I'll find my place. But sometimes it's like a hopeless soul. And when will the sun recolor my days? Raise me up to look down below. Well, the birds have flown and they're the first to know. So will I ever catch on? In this town there's 11 months of snow, but only 15 minutes of dawn. And with no choice, I'll keep to my track. It'll land me in an old wooden shack, but that's just how it goes. And it won't cut me slack, but I don't want to be the devil on your back.
That's Mark Martire with The Devil on Your Back, which is a song from his first solo album, which I think was called Down Record, is that
yeah.
right?
Or yeah. Record, however you want
to. Or Down Record. Okay.
Or Record. Yeah. It's meant to be ambiguous.
Oh, that's very good. Great to have you join us today. I love that song.
Thank you.
In fact, I definitely want a copy of that
I'll
album.
I'll have to send one out to you, for sure.
I can get that. That's fabulous. If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
So, markmartire.com. And then, or you can just, you know, Facebook that name, Google the name, and it takes you, there's some links to Bandcamp and YouTube and other online pages.
And you mentioned that, you know, typically you're touring as a either just a solo singer-songwriter or perhaps with just one sideman or something like that, side person.
Exactly. Yeah. Right now I'm again, like I said, starting to focus on a new album, so I'm staying within the GTA, and if I do shows, I'll just sort of like, I'll go out to, you know, wherever, you know, an hour away or so. And I'll play some shows in Toronto. And then once the album's out in the new year, I'll probably, you know, go across the country and play some shows. And we'll see, like down the road, I'd love to, like, you know, mention playing in a band, and as much as it's more freeing to have to just to go solo and not have to, you know, at the same time, there is a certain excitement and a certain sonic experience to being in a band and playing with a band and having the songs reinterpreted by a full cast of musicians. And I'd love to do that down the road, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
So that's basically the future then, maybe exploring other opportunities.
Yeah. So this will be the fourth record, and you know, and the sound, and you know, all three sort of have a very similar folk influenced thing. And I'd love to, you know, evolve and see where the music goes. And it might not always stay within the using the acoustic guitar. Maybe some other instruments might come into play soon.
We're going to finish with another track from the Red Letters album, and the track we've selected is O Luna. Can you tell us about that song?
I think it was probably one of the last ones written. It almost didn't make the album, I think, if I remember correctly. It was one of those songs where it got put in because it seemed to fit a nice way to end the album, and it's a nice way to end the interview, I guess.
That's great. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you today. Mark Martire, remember his website is markmartire.com.
Thank you.
This is O Luna from the album Red Letters, and you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
The rain splashes the sidewalk again as I take this road around the bend. Tonight the moon is my only friend as my bones break because they do not bend. And I shuffle these chords alone tonight, try to ignore everything inside, and tell myself that the dogs bark and do not bite, trying to find hope in the moon's light. Tell me, how could it be that I wanted time but it never wanted me? The walls and it let out the air. Sometimes the people are more than I can bear. Have you ever felt like a circle trapped in a square? Saying one day I'll laugh under that moon, I swear. Maybe I've run out of things to say, and maybe the world has sucked it all away, and maybe the moon is the only one who will not betray your hopes and dreams have gone astray. Luna, tell me, how could it be that I wanted peace but it never wanted me? Oh, Luna. Luna. Tell me why should it be? I must be another victim of gravity. Luna, tell me, how could it be that I can reach out to you, but you never reach out for me? Luna. Thank you.